Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me, for hanging around. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We don't care where you are. We don't care how you're listening. We don't care when you're listening. We're just glad you're here. Bill Brandt is here. I'm glad he's here, too, because otherwise this wouldn't be nearly as much fun this half hour. Bill is the president of Development Specialists Incorporated. He's one of our top business advisors, and he helps us to he's one of the guys who takes the economy and the marketplace and blends it together into a story that really helps us to understand what's going on out there in the marketplace and helps us make some plans for our businesses. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim, and in my annual holiday greeting to you, I want to remind you tomorrow that when you sit down at the table, make sure they cut up the right turkey.
That's. I knew you were going to take a cheap shot at me. That's fine. I've got a couple for you, too, Bill.
I figured.
It's good to have you back, as always. Bill, here we are hard by on the other side of the election, the November election, and I won't repeat all the things that happened. Everybody knows what happened. And
That's merciful of you. I appreciate that.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to do, though, is because I know you're, in addition to being a really smart businessman and a really smart student of what's going on in not only the national economy but the world economy, you also are, you have some pretty important political instincts, and I wanted to ask you what your thoughts are on what the election, how the recent election will affect small business owners with regard to a few topics, and one of them is taxes. How do you think the tax environment, let's just use the federal income tax for an example, as a basis. How do you think that's going to play out over the next 4 years for small business owners?
I have no doubt that with the resounding majorities that Bush now has in both houses of Congress, that the president will use the opportunity, as he's often said. And if there's anything we learn from this election and from the campaigning, it is the American public believes that Bush is a man of his word, and he says what he means and means what he says. And I have heard him a number of times say, as has the public, that he intends to make the tax cuts permanent.
Right.
I think that they're perhaps, on an income tax side, not as important because they are weighed towards the upper incomes. Statistically, that's just hard to get around. But what they do also show is, in addition to being weighed towards the upper incomes, they do measurably help small business. And for that from that standpoint, I think that it is likely that that the tax cuts will be made permanent. I think that issues like the death tax, which I think really doesn't affect many in small business, but the death tax and the federal gift tax, a lot of which is set to repeal, and then sunset in 2009, is all right. Going to stay on track. So I think it's a good environment for taxes.
So do you not think that if he gets the other permanent cuts, that the death tax will be repealed?
I think it's likely to be repealed. I've always laughed at it because the mere handful of people that are affected by the death taxes is laughable each year.
Right.
I know that the family farmers and many small business worry about this, but the truth is the exemptions are so high that only a very few people worry about this. I frankly think rather than getting rid of it, if it is aimed at preventing a big transfer of wealth, what people should have long ago done is set an artificially high ceiling, say $50 million
right,
or so.
Right.
So people, that will pick up the Bill Gates and,
right.
and the others, but the most family folks would know that $50 million isn't
exactly.
going to make an effect on that.
Well, and plus the people with that kind of an estate can afford to take steps to avoid it. And so,
Jim, it's funny.
It becomes moot.
Then not only does it become moot, but of the oddity of oddities, they've banded together to tell Congress that the intergenerational transfer of wealth is not a good thing, and they want to be taxed. And
that's an irony. You're right. That's an irony beyond anything I can imagine.
From my lineage, I'm just assuming they must have been Irish and stopped at a bar on the way to the hearing.
Exactly.
But I'm going with it.
Hey, Bill. You said something just a minute ago, and that I think is interesting. You said that, no question that the tax cuts have helped small business owners. And so, therefore, if small businesses create over half of the U.S. economy, which they do, and employ over half of the, you know, sign the front of over half of the paychecks in America, which they do, didn't you just make an argument for supply-side economics?
Yes and no. You know, Jim, you can look at it in the classic, you know, glass half full, glass half empty issue. There are things that scare me about the current state of the economy, especially trends that have accelerated in the last 6 or 7 months. And I frankly would tell you, no matter who won the election, because of the nature of what's already in place, undoing them in a period of time that would make any sense by any candidate would have been difficult.
Right.
And there are some things that we need to be concerned about. The tax issues, I think, are a good issue. You know, I also think that the regulation is going to ease up generally from taxes in the future.
All right. When we come back, I want to ask you a little bit about health care, a little bit about tort reform, and then one of the things I want to do, Bill's an expert on this globalization issue. I want him to help us with that right after these messages. 20 till, stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us. Hope everybody's getting ready to have a great holiday season and have a safe one. Please drive safely this week, ladies and gentlemen. And the main reason I want you to drive safely is because I'm going to be on the road, and I don't want you to run into me. So please drive safely. Bill Brand is a guy who drives safely. He's the president of Development Specialists Incorporated. And Bill, tell us what your company does.
Jim, we're one of the oldest and largest consulting firms in the country that restructures businesses, helps business restructure, get through difficult times, and similar issues like that. We've been around for about 30 years and been involved in now something on the order of 8,000 separate matters over those years.
Now, how would somebody contact you if they wanted to?
Well, they can give us a call in our Chicago world headquarters at 312-263-4141. There are offices in many major cities, Los Angeles, Miami, New York, San Francisco, Columbus, Boston, and on. Or they can visit the website, which I think your audience is pretty partial to, which is www.dsi.biz, B-I-Z.
Yeah, I encourage you to check that website out, folks, because Bill has some great articles there that are free that I encourage you to look at. And Bill's a great resource. I mean, he's a global player, but he thinks and talks like you and I, ladies and gentlemen. And the words that he offers you in his columns, I think, will benefit you. And Bill, I appreciate that. I appreciate you making that available. Let's move over. We're talking about what's going to be different about what's going to be in store for businesses for small business owners in the next 4 years. Let's talk about health care insurance. One of the things that I believe, Bill, very strongly is that we need to get the association health plans passed. It passed the House 8 times. It's stuck in the Senate because of the filibuster, primarily because of your buddy Ted Kennedy. And I think we need to get that through. Is that going to happen?
Jim, I can't tell you that. I think that there is no doubt that the American public is fed up with the health care situation on both sides of the aisle. And I think it is not an issue of one side wanting to diss the other, but it is a question of finding the best way to work this with the least federal intrusion. I have no doubt in my own mind that before the end of this decade, in some form or fashion, a universal health care issue will pass, some protective coverage on a safety net basis.
Really?
Perhaps mirroring Social Security will be passed. Jim, you know, I deal in the world of bankruptcy, and where all of the politicians decry the rising number of personal bankruptcies, I can tell you that there's myriad studies that show that the single biggest contributor to a personal bankruptcy is an unexpected medical expense
from
an uncovered person. So
right.
I'll happily trade bankruptcy reform for health care coverage.
Well, why don't we give the marketplace a try, though, Bill? Why don't they allow, you know, let's allow the association of health plans to flourish, and let competition and choice and portability be the coin of the health care realm.
Jim, I would have no debate with you if I thought that the playing field was level. What bothers me, and I think that bothers others, is I look at what Elliot Spitzer is discovering in the industry, which smacks of bid rigging and antitrust practices and the rest of it. And I'd like to level with your listeners and say, look, if these guys get together, they'll price a product for you that is fair and reasonable and involves no structure. But what I'm seeing in the insurance industry, I think, is the tip of the iceberg of a house cleaning, not unlike we saw in the S&L industry. And I'd like to see it play out for a while. I got a feeling that, many of us, both not just for healthcare, but many of your small business owners have been systematically overcharged in the marketplace for their premiums for general liability, everything from directors and officers if they've got a small corp. And I think a lot of that's about to unravel.
Well, which brings us to the next topic, which is tort reform. If we could get tort reform simultaneous with programs like Association Health Plans. By the way, folks, if you haven't been listening to my show, you know, those of you who've been listening know what AHPs are. This is where small businesses can join groups and buy insurance across state lines, irrespective of the state insurance laws, to be able to find more competitive plans that are more competitive prices and that are portable.
And that's what I was going to speak to. I just spoke at a conference in New York last week. The insurance business is one of the last businesses that is the bastion of states. It is headed irrevocably towards federalization, and by that I mean with the repeal of Glass-Steagall, which was the old Depression-era law that prohibited banks from selling insurance. You now have banks and other institutions providing insurance products across state lines way beyond the separate insurance commissioner's ability to regulate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about the healthcare structure you're talking about, I think something's going to happen, but there are so many changes underway in the insurance industry, not the least of which is the recent affected by Spitzer's investigations.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to take a year or two to settle out. But I will predict for you that by the end of this decade, something will be in place. It'll be a compromise, Jim, but something will be in place.
Now, Bill, you know me pretty well. Will I like it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
okay.
I think that the idea that going back to Hillary's attempt 10 years ago, some massive federal bureaucracy,
if Hillary's in charge of it, I probably won't like it.
I think she learned. I talked to her about this not too long ago.
Yeah.
I think she learned a lot from the previous episode. I think that she heard her husband some months later in the State of the Union address say that the era of big government is over. There is no doubt it will be a partnership between government and the private sector. The question is, how do we watch the regulation in the private sector to make sure that some of the practices that Spitzer's exposing are not there to take advantage of people in small business?
Are we going to have tort reform in the next 4 years?
Some. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that the tort reform movement will go forward. There is no doubt in my mind that the trial lawyers, you know, ran the table, if you will, in this election, trying to prevent that from happening by getting Edwards on and everything else. And there is no doubt that the Republicans on their side of the aisle believe that there's a pound of flesh to be extracted, and the trial lawyers expect it. Compromise is inevitable.
Right.
But what you're talking about is medical caps, and that's another issue.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue. Stand by, Bill. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I want to get into outsourcing a little bit, into globalization a little bit, but I also want to ask Bill, what are our greatest challenges and opportunities in 2005? He's got his crystal ball. He's shining it up. He's going to tell us about that right after these messages. It's 10 till. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, rocking and rolling. A little bit of Grace Slick for you there. Bill Brandt remembers Grace Slick, don't you, Bill?
I do. She turned me down on several dates before she...
And you know what, folks, you think he's telling a joke, but he's probably telling the truth. Bill, what's going to be small business owners' greatest challenge in 2005?
Well, Jim, I'll give you the very short speech. I mean, I think small business has every reason to be gratified by the outcome of the election and what the legislative issues look like on the Hill. But there are some systemic and endemic problems that portend some great problems in the near future. One trend in particular, I mean, everybody bangs on me about the deficit. I am not as concerned about the deficit as many other people are because I think, frankly, it doesn't represent an overwhelming proportion of our GNP and we can handle it. What I am most concerned about, however, is the trade deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Our economy runs every day based on the fact that literally millions of Chinese are willing and Japanese are willing to buy our debt instruments and finance us every day. That is getting questionable, and I must tell you that the fall of the dollar for your small business owners who deal in overseas products and import now,
mm-hmm.
the fall of the dollar is astounding. I was in Canada just yesterday, And for those of you who remember the Canadian dollar being at 70 cents to the American dollar, it's moving towards parity. It's closing in on 90 cents yesterday, all of which makes American exports cheaper, but has another problem for us, and that is basically every working day in this country, we depend on foreigners to buy $2.6 billion of our debt in order to keep our economy going. That is, on a daily basis, 80% of the entire world's net savings. Hmm. And from a perspective of statistics, that's not sustainable. And when you talk about outsourcing and the rest of it, I believe what the president and other people have in mind to fight it is to let the dollar continue to drop to the point where the Chinese have to de-link right. their currencies. The problem for all of this is, for us as small business owners, when that happens, there needs to be something to continue to induce those people to buy our dollars every day. Mm-hmm. What will induce them to do it will be high interest rates offering greater returns. Gentlemen and ladies in Jim's audience, those high interest rates are coming back, and they're coming back fairly quickly, and they will come back in sudden quirks upwards over the next 5 years. It is implausible to believe that they can't, simply because of the trade deficit, not the budget deficit, but the trade deficit. So mm-hmm. prepare yourselves. If you have significant borrowings and you haven't hedged them, if you're thinking about expansion, keep in mind that every mathematical model you run or business plan you develop has probably guessed measurably low on the likely interest rates right. you're going to have to pay in the next 3 to 4 years.
While that's while you're on that topic, what about paying higher prices for money? What about higher prices for petroleum? Is that what do you think crude will be? What do you think it will be? Let's say that things sort of settle down in Iraq. We don't have a civil war or anything. The things are fairly settled in the Middle East. What do you think petroleum will be a year from now?
Jim, you know, President Clinton used to tell me that all of his economic models made sense with oil hovering around $28 a barrel, mm-hmm. which was a significantly higher sum than most people thought the American economy could tolerate 4 or 5 years ago. There's been minimal inflation since then, but I think that we are all likely to have to get used to oil hovering around $40 a yep. barrel as a mean right now. I do not think it's 50 from time to time, depending on the issues.
Supply and demand is going to keep it at 40, isn't it?
Well, we're running out of oil, and you know, the North Slope that people want to drill in, which I think this administration will probably get past, it isn't going to represent enough to make a measurable dent in that. I think people have to get used to the assumption that $40 a barrel is about where it's going to be.
What about the greatest opportunities in 2005? What are you seeing?
Well, one of the greatest opportunities in 2005, it represents the greatest threats, and that is if inflation comes back, and it will.
It is. It already has.
It has. Then borrowing does work because you are paying your debt back with inflated dollars. And if you're thinking about how that's going to work, you know, this is going to be a time when home mortgages and the others, if you can lock in low rates, you are going to work well against the curve for both business loans and for other issues with respect to the funds you're going to pay back in the future because mm-hmm. the dollars, because of inflation, will be less. The concern right. I have, however, overall, the trade deficit issue says to me when the interest rates start going up, the sort of fledgling recovery we have has been modest so far.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to take off like it did during the Clinton years. It's going to be more like, for those of us who are old enough to remember, the second term of the Reagan years, right. where it was so-so from time to time, and there were no shortage of things that caused some people to look askance at their economic
future. But, Bill, I'll take a nice sustained growth period over several years, like we had in the Reagan recovery over about 18 or 19 years. Bill, thank you for being here. Good job today. Excellent report to us. Thank you for being here. Have a great holiday, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim, and my best holiday wishes to all your listeners.
Bill Brandt, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. He's with Development Specialists Incorporated. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I will be right back. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.